New show tomorrow debuts Prime Video, World's Toughest Race Eco Challenge. Fiji, Bear Grylls is the host. He joins us now. Grateful for his company. Thank you, sir, for making the time. I was wondering if we could just start with you just listing your injuries over the course of your life, just sort of giving us a list, a detailed list of all the ways that you have brought harm to your body.
I don't know. I try and kind of forget about old injuries, but there have been a lot of them. You know, I broke my back in three places, in the military in a free fall accident, and off my shoulder in Antarctica, and femurs in Canada, and a whole bunch of different things. But, you know, what it's taught me is that, first of all, don't be an idiot. You'll only get it wrong once. Learn from your mistakes. Be smart. And secondly is that I've been so lucky, and I think so much of my experience now has been the sum of many near misses. And I'm actually, you know, contrary to what you might believe, I'm actually pretty cautious as a person, especially on a lot of the shows we do, like, you know, Running Wild, or I'm taking one-on-one guests away, or something like the World's Toughest Race, where we had so many adventure racers out there. You've got to be absolutely on it with this sort of stuff. But yeah, hey, injuries. What's that great quote? I don't want to arrive at the end of my life in a perfectly preserved body. What a waste. I want to come screaming, hitting it sideways, covered in scars, screaming, Yahoo, what a ride.
What happened with the parachute jump in the military? Like, what are the details worth, you know, I don't know how painful this must have been, where you end up with your back broken in three places?
Yeah, that was definitely a darker time for me. But I ended up spending best part of a year in and out of military rehabilitation back in the UK. It was a jump in Africa that went pretty wrong. But and then I eventually had to leave the military, and you know, but it was a long time on my back in braces and all of that, just thinking, am I ever going to be able to make it to the bathroom without crying in pain, let alone ever be able to climb again or do any of the sort of things that I was doing. I was serving with the British Special Forces at the time and living a life and a job that I, you know, loved with the people I loved. So that was a hard one to swallow. But, you know, I also look back on my career now and I think, you know, every cloud always has those silver linings. I know it's a cliche, but it's true, you know, and sometimes you've got to walk through these difficult times to get to the good times. And I don't think I would have done any of the TV adventures or any of the big expeditions that I did after leaving the military if I hadn't have had that accident at that time. And sometimes these things give you a fire to get up and grab life and go for it and be grateful for a second chance. And that's kind of what I felt, you know.
What's the longest you've gone without being able to get out of bed?
I don't know. I'm pretty good. I, you know, even when I'm injured, I'm stumbling around trying to get up. But yeah, no, I'm a pretty active person, you know. So yeah, I don't lie around in bed unless I'm really happy.
World's Toughest Race Eco Challenge Fiji. It premieres tomorrow. Bear Grylls with us on ESPN Radio. What is the worst thing that you've been bitten by?
Probably a viper in the Borneo jungle, a snake. But ooh, I was lucky; it wasn't venomous, and I was fine. I think that was just more of a shock. And you got to be careful with even non-venomous snake bites with infection and stuff when you're in the jungle. But I don't know, I've had a lot of. I've had scorpion and tarantula bites and whole various things like that. But yeah, generally, again, I'm pretty lucky. I have three boys and they love like feeling. I've got a great little bit of gristle that's in my ankle that's basically just scar tissue from a scorpion bite years ago. Yeah. And they still love feeling that on my ankle. They go, oh, it's Papa's scorpion bite.
What is the most you've been surprised by an animal in your adventures where you even with all your experience, you simply weren't expecting it?
Probably saltwater crocodile in the Northern Territories. You know, we'd been traveling through this swamp and we came to this little billabong, this little pool of water, and we thought we were out of croc territory now. And the crew were about to go and fill up water bottles. And I said, guys, that's super murky water. Let's just I wouldn't go near that for now. And they were, no, it'd be fine. I said, well, here we go. And I threw a rock in, and literally as the rock hit the water, this massive, great big saltwater crocodile burst out, thrashing, and turned this whole pool into like a washing machine of white water thrashing. And then suddenly we're absolutely still, like glass again. And it was like, that's why we don't swim or fill our water bottles today.
Horrifying. Bear Grylls with us. Again, World's Toughest Race Eco Challenge Fiji. We'll talk to him about that in a second. What represents the most scared you've been in the presence of an animal?
In the presence of an animal, maybe jumping on the back of a big 60-foot tiger shark once by mistake out in the middle of the Pacific. And I built a raft and I was floating between these islands. And I just jumped off and I didn't see this thing. It came straight low, sort of low level under the raft, and I landed on top of it. And I think the shark was as surprised as I was. And the shark shot off and I shot up out of the water back onto the raft. And then the shark came back to try and have the best of me and started thrashing at the raft. And I was like, wow, you know, sorry, I didn't mean to jump on you. I didn't see you there.
Yeah, that's happened to me a couple of times. It's terrible. Bear Grylls with us here on ESPN Radio. It's unbelievable. How did you find yourself? What are the details? Why were you rowing naked in a homemade tub in the ocean?
Well, these were the days before I was on TV. And nowadays, I can't get away with doing things like that because, you know, you get whatever, but this was rowing for we rowed the length of the Thames, which is the biggest big river in the UK, to try and raise money for a friend of mine who lost his limb, lost his arm, and he needed and we helped raise money for a prosthetic for him at the time. And so that was the challenge. We rowed in a bathtub down the length of the Thames. So, yeah, there you go.
It's grueling. The times that I've done that naked, it's been really grueling. Bear Grylls with us again. World's Toughest Race Eco Challenge Fiji. What can you tell us about this? What's interesting, dangerous, weird about this show you're doing? Prime Video beginning tomorrow.
Yeah, well, the World's Toughest Race has all those elements in it. You know, it is what it says. It's the toughest race ever hosted on planet Earth. 450 miles non-stop racing day and night for 11 days through some of the harshest terrain and jungle and swamps and ravines on the planet. Teams brought from all over the world. And there was definitely a concern between those of us who put this thing together is anyone even going to finish this? You know, is it possible? But the answer is watch tomorrow night. What happens is amazing and inspiring and a real testament to friendships and to resilience and to never giving up. Ultimately, that's the story of these teams that make it through, and it's amazing.
World's Toughest Race Eco Challenge Fiji tomorrow night, Prime Video. Stugat, you answer this question with your thoughts. Which of these do you think tastes the worst, Stugat? Raw frozen yak eyeballs, camel intestine juice, raw goat testicles, a live snake, maggots as big as your hand, or a giant live spider? Which do you think tastes the worst there, Stugat?
The testicles.
The raw goat testicles. Bear Grylls, which of those tastes the worst?
Bullseye, yeah. The testicle, truly. Truly. Because the thing is, I tried to swallow it. I made the error of trying to swallow it whole without chewing it. And I couldn't do it. So then I sort of, my throat like squashed this thing, and then it exploded into a mouthful of everything you knew was going to be inside that testicle. And then I vomited, and then I ended up having to swallow the vomit, the testicle, and the contents of the testicle. And it was just a really bad way to kick off an adventure we had in the Sahara Desert a few years back. You picked some low points in my life. I've had many great, great times.
You are nuts.
Injuries, near death, worst, you know. There have been a lot of highlights as well, you know.
I tried to hit the loser game show sound. It doesn't work. Thank you, Bear. Thank you. Bear, you are amazing. You what you amazing. Do, what you do is amazing. World's Toughest Race, Eco Challenge, Fiji, tomorrow, Prime Video.
Hold that thought. Let's sell some ads.
Surprising bonus thoughts on nut milk. If you want some more information on where and how we are going to change in the coming weeks, the next Mystery Crate will give you some guidance there on some things that we're excited about around here, because if you like this show, you're about to get more of this show. You're just going to have to find it in sort of different places, because on ESPN Radio, the lineup is changing here. They're going more sports, 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 sports. Pressing the gas on sports, less of, you know, farting chair noise over here and Bear Grylls interviews, but we will have all that stuff for you. It's not going to disappear. You're just not going to get it all on the radio. You're going to get it from 10 to noon Eastern on the radio beginning on Monday.
I mean, who said we don't do sports? We're going to have the MVP of the bubble. I mean, the guy who's been better than anyone, maybe Dame Lillard, but TJ Warren in about 10 minutes, MVP of bubble play inside the NBA.
Yes, excellent. That's just minutes away. TJ Warren, he is the bubble king, and we will talk to him about sports. But next week, that hour will not exist there. Right. It'll exist somewhere else. So Bear Grylls and everything else that's non-sports, you can get elsewhere.
Actually, just going to talk to TJ Warren about us talking about him.
Yes, that's basically why it is that we're having him on. That is correct. Well done by you, Chris, as always. I was looking through some ads, Stugatz, and I got to think, the world has been turned totally upside down, right? So there have got to be a number of things that you're noticing that are numbers that are just simply insane. Whether you wonder why our economy is still propped up by five companies somehow, and Jeff Bezos is making in a single day enough to buy the New York Knicks and the Dallas Cowboys and have plenty of money left over. But beyond that, I was looking and I saw an ad for flights out of Miami, and it was $20. $20, a JetBlue flight out of Miami on something, and it's one way, but I was still like, what the hell is happening in our turned upside down world? Because a lot of people don't feel like planes are safe, but now would be a good time to travel if what you're interested in is only the health of your bank account. What are some places where you've seen some prices where you've been like, how the hell is it possible? Why are they even bothering to sell seats at that price? Tony, have you seen anything that has caught your attention there?
I have, Dan. AMC has announced that next week they're going to be opening their theaters for people to come in and watch movies, and the ticket price is going to be a paltry 15 cents. Now, 15 cents sounds like a lot, right?
No,
when you consider you have hundreds of people in a theater all breathing their hot breath on you as you watch a movie. Maybe not the best place.
But a bargain, a bargain.
15 cents was the price of Greg Cody's first movie ticket. I mean,
we are back to the days of 15 cents buys you a movie ticket. Is that right? Is that possible that it is true? Like, why are you bothering to open your door? Wait a minute. Here, would you like to get the disease for 15 cents? But
that should cover the copay.
But we also don't have any new movies to show you. So, like, I don't, we can't make movies right now.
Whatever gets me to see Tenet quicker, please.
I think people would yearn just to go outside, go to a theater, pay the 15 cents, sit in there. They don't need to watch a new movie. They'll watch Rocky, Rambo, Casablanca. They'll watch the classics. I mean, I think people would do that. I do.
What are you talking about? They have to put the price at that level. Like, what is the even point? Honest to God, I'm dead serious about this. Why don't you just let everyone in for free? Because it's more of a hassle to make me go find 15 cents.
There's apparently a coin shortage, too.
Am I going to, like, put that on my card? Am I going to be embarrassed when that comes in? Hey, everybody want to come to the movies? I got it. I got the price.
They're going to get us on the interest here over here.
TJ Warren joins us next. T-Buckets, Tony is calling him, T.J. Warren with Stugatz is his biggest fan. He has no bigger national fan, I don't think, than you, Stugatz. You told everybody he could give you 45 any given night. T.J. Warren with us now on ESPN Radio. I guess we'll start there. Your first night in the bubble. As soon as Stugatz says T.J. Warren can give you 45 any given night, T.J. Warren, who had never gotten 45 in a night, goes into the bubble and gets more than 45 in a night. So what the hell happened there? And thank you for joining us, T-Bucket.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
What happened with you getting into the bubble and all of a sudden you're the breakout star of the bubble? Is that something that you were expecting to happen the months preceding something like that?
Given when our season ended, we've been playing really good basketball throughout the whole year, and definitely wanted to use the restart as a chance to really take it to another level. You know, our all-star Sabonis, he went out with an injury and he hasn't been playing. So guys just had to step up, and I knew in my mind I just wanted to just be more aggressive and try to step up with all the with the injuries with the team. So, I mean, it worked out so far. The work's not done, and we got to continue to get better.
What does scoring 50 mean to you as someone who grew up loving basketball? Like going into an NBA game and scoring 50, what were the touchstone moments in your childhood where a guy put up 50 and you realized the number matters to you?
Yeah, man, it's a great feeling, being able to envision that and really do it in the game after growing up in the backyard or in the front yard, just playing with your friends and just having that deep imagination of having these type of moments. And it's sort of a surreal feeling to be able to do that on this type of stage and how all eyes are on us and the restart in this uncertain year. It was a great feeling.
Now, TJ, I did say at the time you're a guy that can give your team 45 on any given night, even though you hadn't done so in your career. But with that knowledge, did you feel like you were a guy that could give your team on 45 on any given night, even though you hadn't done it yet?
Yeah, I mean, I'm fully confident in my ability. I've always been able to score the ball. I always had a knack for scoring. Throughout my whole basketball career, from high school to college, to the NBA. So I work on my game so much. I just knew my time was coming to be able to have these type of moments, and all the hard work and the time I put into the game is kind of just rewarded me with the type of results like this. But I understand that there's a lot more I want to do and not just be known as a scorer, known as a two-way guy that plays defense as well as score whenever the team needs me to. So just wanted to continue to get better.
Chris, what happened there? Why were you making faces at Stugatz? He's running around his room doing the Tiger Woods, makes a putt at the – like, what is happening here?
I mean, he's just in this for himself. I mean, TJ's been a scorer like throughout his college career, and then you just ask him, did you know that you could have a good game? Like, what are you doing?
Yes, that is.
What am I doing? I believed in T.J. Warren when no one else believed in T.J. Warren. I knew 45-50 was right around the corner. I knew what he was doing was right around the corner. It was just a matter of getting Sabonis out of there. And look what happened.
Yeah, and Oladipo. Getting Sabonis and Oladipo out there. Give T-Buckets all the touches. Boom. That's, you know what? You're right, Stugatz. You've never been more right about anything. The Pacers, TJ, though, nationally, you feel it, right? Everyone's like, yeah, whatever. The Pacers will win 50 games. They'll overachieve. They'll be great. But, yeah, whatever. They're the Pacers. There's only so far that team can go.
Yeah, I mean, just being my first year, I just see the how much the Pacers really care for their players. And it's a first-class organization. I understand that we're a small market, but we got a group of guys that are hungry, chip on their shoulders, and out to prove something. And I feel like with this group, we're all young in our mid-20s, and we're just continuing to get better as time goes on. And I know nobody's satisfied here, and everybody wants to push to be great. So it's good for everybody to have that mindset moving forward.
We were really looking forward to that Monday night game because of the escalation of everything with Jimmy Butler. Mike Ryan's an enormous Miami Heat fan. We had people in the crowd there, Stu Gatz, my father. Mike, what did you want to ask T.J. Warren?
Well, TJ, Jimmy Butler sort of dismissed you there. And to guys like Stu Gatz and myself, who was aligned with Stu Gatz in saying that you can get 45 any given night because I've seen how much you've improved year over year, I found that dismissive. Obviously, you did in that moment. Have cooler heads prevailed, or is this playoff series going to be chippy?
I mean, any playoff series is going to be competitive. But I'm definitely not distracted by what's going on, like towards the media and how people might feel about me. I mean, at the end of the day, we all competitors and we all going to play hard at the end of the day. But I can't really really give my energy to the everything off the court. Just got to compete when you're on the court.
It's a good answer, but were you hurt when he's coming out there publicly and calling you soft and saying you're not on his level? Was it something that's just personally hurtful when you know you're a good player and it's not something you want to hear?
I mean, nah. I mean, guys, I mean, you think of LeBron and all the top players in the league. I mean, they get hate, but that doesn't stop them from being who they are, you know? I mean, it's all a part of the game. You can't really be too concerned about what other people think. It's just part of the game, so you just got to keep moving forward.
So how do you feel about Jimmy Butler? Excuse me.
How do I feel? I mean, I don't feel no way. I'm unbothered. I mean, nothing can't really get reaction out of me. I'm just cool, calm, and collected.
TJ Warren with us here on ESPN Radio. TJ, what's the big difference here? How does it feel playing in empty arenas, not playing in front of fans? It's got to feel different to you, right?
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Did he hang up on us?
I mean, it could be a coincidence after that. I thought we were good. There was a buzzer that went off, and I don't think that was for our interview.
He hung up on us.
You think so? No. Okay. Well, no, I thought we couched everything.
All right, Mike Ryan, get some of the best hang-ups in show history.
No, I think that was a coincidence. Chris, what do you think? Coincidence? Or?
I think that was a connection. I don't think he hung up.
I'm a little worried, though, because I was growing to really like TJ Warren.
Yep.
But we're at a loss right now.
Man, I was trying to be so careful in protecting our relationship.
You were really very gentle the way you asked the question. I was one of the guys. I was with you on Pro 45. You're a Heat homer, and you were very soft with him.
Maybe the fourth Jimmy Butler follow-up could have maybe pulled.
It was only a third. It was only a third, and I interrupted him to do it, though. Yeah, and I got his feelings. Yeah. I'm like, how did you feel? And it sort of cornered him, right? Like, I've got to have a feeling here.
So you doubted him on the front end. You ruined our relationship on the back end. I mean,
God,
you've done nothing with TJ Warren here.
T-Buckets! Get him back on the line!
I still have a minute. Let me call back and just, hey, are we good? Do you have to run?
All right. Yes, let's gather. Chill. Let's sink into this for a second, Stu Gatz, as Mike Ryan calls back and see if we're okay. But what your best guess is, Chris is hopeful. I also think it was just bad timing. I don't think that the question, because you were asking him about, you know, people have said that the sight lines are better for shooters. You were asking him about playing in the bubble. That's not an objectionable question.
Yeah, but by that point, we had already followed up twice on Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, I definitely wanted to go sightlines there. Yeah. And in the middle of it, I have like sort of like a rotating list of numbers. And anytime someone calls in on our line, I lose the most recent number that was called. And unfortunately for me, I've lost the callback number. And he hasn't called back yet, so... Given our history,
let's find out together.
Let's
find out together. We're going to gather information. We're going to regather ourselves. This is not bad for the show. It is just generally bad, as the show often is. And so we will gather ourselves.
I didn't see that one coming.
I didn't either.
You didn't give us a warning that we
But
were
now it's out in the air there. So stay in your cars. If you're listening on podcast, stay right where you are in the next segment, Radio Tease.
Hold that thought. Let's sell some ads.
I'm not sure, though. I am not sure.
I mean, you even helped me up as a meat shield, so it wasn't coming from you.
I really did.
Your
That's
history.
Right. I was hiding so behind you. That's right.
It didn't really catch me until now. I'm like, wow, sharing the ball. I'm
I just
excited
sort
to
of
get in
tossed
on
it to you, third or fourth question. And then as soon as it was open, I jumped in there with Jimmy Butler follows. Such a media member.
Even if he hung up on us, I think I still like him.
Me too. The only person I don't like there is me. And I believe that that's the entire audience right now. So, familiar position. Put it on the poll, please, Tony, at Lebatard Show. Did TJ Warren just hang up on the show? We got Heat Pacers, Stugatz, beginning Monday. We're Miami's show. We've been Miami's show for a long time. We're going to cover the holy hell out of the playoffs. We're going to be super Heat-centric, even as we annoy the nation, because we are, first and foremost, a Miami show that happens to be national. So we're going to sink into all Heat-related stuff here. Coming on Monday, and it would appear that the guy that the Miami Heat already has beef with because of the back and forth with Jimmy Butler, it would appear, I don't know if it's true or not, that he just hung up on Miami's radio show.
Yeah,
it certainly appears that way, and it's a little incriminating to not call back and say, oh, I accidentally dropped. Apparently, he can drop 45 any night, and his cell phone can drop also at any moment. But, you know, I like to think that we're okay. The discussion was at its end.
You have reached for that loser game show sound 17 times today, and you're 0-17.
Yes. Yes. It came out so stiff. He's like, he can drop 45 on you any night, and his phone line can drop on you at any time. It just came out stiff, like it was a rehearsed line, but poorly rehearsed. As we try to like rub two sticks together to make Heat Pacers interesting to the nation. We're just taking TJ Warren and Jimmy Butler and rubbing them together and seeing if we could create a plume of smoke before 4-5 in the bubble. First round, Miami cares, Indiana cares, no one else cares.
These are longtime rivals, Dan. Look, we can elevate TJ Warren. We elevated Lance Stevenson, did we not?
Well, that was a different time, Mike. He was blowing in the ear of LeBron James.
He's blowing in the ear of Duncan Robinson.
I mean, Mike, longtime rivals. When you have everyone was the Heat rival back then. Every team, the whole league.
I'm just saying, historically, over the last decade, when these two teams meet, you can throw away the records, and you know that it means a little bit more.
Yeah. What do you mean you could throw away the record? You could just watch the Heat win every time. And
now that it's at a neutral site, I guess you kind of have to throw away the records.
You just throw away the Pacers. I
mean, what do we need to do in order to get these two plumes of smoke in the air so that all of a sudden we have an old-fashioned rivalry? 4-5. Did the Pacers star hang up on Miami's radio show? Is he weak the way that Jimmy Butler says he is? Soft? Or is he on Jimmy Butler's level?
Even if he did hang up on us, I think I still like him, and maybe even like him more if he did hang up on us because, you know, assassin, I don't got time for this nonsense. I addressed it.
Who's the guy in Indianapolis? Is it Bob Kravitz? Is he a guy that can assist here? Can he give us a big headline saying that TJ Warren hangs up on Dan Lebatard? Like, we need some help in Indiana
as well. All right, who's out there in the media that can help us out? Who can help us out within the sound of my voice? We're huge in Fort Wayne. Somebody pass along TJ Warren hangs up on Lebatard's show.
Or can you just find out if it was us?
It might have just been that our line dropped and we cut him off, but we need to get these plumes of smoke in the air. It's 4-5 from the bubble starting August 17th with a new ESPN radio lineup. The playoffs are back. Heat Pacers. Did TJ Warren hang up on the Lebatard show? We're not really going to get it off the ground, are we?
We're just going to fart
around here. It's going to be the same thing. Stugatz rushing to a chair, falling into it with his hairy butt. We're just going to fart around here and not create anything in the way of a rivalry.
I will tell you this, though. I am excited. I don't know about you guys, but I'm excited for today. It is, I mean, you have a series of must-win games in the Western Conference. Teams trying to get that final playoff position. I'm going to sit back and watch some NBA basketball today, gamble a little bit, and watch a bunch of teams playing games that they have to win. It's been a minute. I can't wait for that.
Sports are great right now. Yes. Heaven only knows the size of the chip on the shoulder of the Dallas Stars at the moment.
Wait a minute. TJ Warren just told us that they've got a bunch of 20-year-olds with chips on their shoulder.
I like that as
But Jimmy Butler also has a chip on his shoulder.
Perpetually.
Yes. Yes. Chips. Who's got more chips on their shoulders? Who's got the fire in the belly? Who's got the fire in the eyes? Who got 4 versus 5 from the bubble? Did TJ Warren hang up on the Dan Le Batard show? Spinning headlines on ESPN.
Stugatz, I have to start here with the post-game show. You say you're going to be glued to NBA playoffs this afternoon. I have that being BS, and you're going to be playing golf by 2 p.m.
I'm not going to be playing golf today. well, perhaps I will a little bit later on. But I have to go out and buy new headphones because today was the most frustrating show for me.
For you?
Yeah, no, for me.
For you.
I'm not saying it wasn't frustrating for you. It had to be. It was frustrating for me because the only pair of headsets that worked were the oldest pair of headsets that I could find in my house. I mean, that's it. It's like having all these beautiful HD TVs, and the only one that worked is the old Zenith with 10 channels and a hanger that controls the antenna. I mean, that's the deal. And I'm very upset about today.
Yeah, but those are also the ones that work are the industry standard, the ones that they hand out with that sort of equipment. You're out here with like frou-frou white headphones that you can't count on. Go industry standard, the Sony MDR-7506, pal.
Yeah. Well, I have two sets of those. They both failed me. And then I went to the Bose Weiss white ones, and now I'm wearing the oldest things that I own.
All right, well, let's get this all out there because this is one of the things that we're going to do with this post-game show is we're going to just air out our grievances. Even if they are grievances that the audience never even sees during the show, because my guess is the audience has no earthly idea, Stugatz, how difficult your entire situation made the doing of today's show, because we had to just camouflage all it was chaos in your little box, was just total chaos. I don't know whether how deep Mike wants to go privately on the resentment.
On the resentment, no, I don't want to go there, but I do like the post game show because on the national show, relatively sounded clean, but we were spinning a lot of plates to make sure it sounded clean for the listener. Stugatz lost his return feed from Bristol, but his microphone was still working, and he was it's frustrating even saying this. He didn't have the presence of mind to just simply plug his headphones into his computer. So we were getting an echo. I was writing it. There's a couple of moments where you can probably catch it on the podcast, but it was very difficult to navigate, and I kind of had to walk Stugatz through it because he's his own audio tech over there because he chose to go to a lacrosse tournament.
Well, this is the important part. Hold on a second, okay? Because he's complaining about his sound issues and his headphones, but as far as I can tell, the place that Stugatz is as a broadcast professional at the center of a mansion that this radio show helped him build, as far as I can tell, all the things Stugatz is mad about are all things that were in his control. Like, you could have, as a radio professional, 7 sets of headsets because you live at home and you're a radio professional.
Yeah, I could have that. I have 3. I mean, I think that's more than enough. How many pairs of headsets do you have over
the
radio?
Yeah, Dan.
Well, but that's the thing, though. I can always have them shipped, bought. That's correct. That is correct. I do have Mike.
No, he has the comfort of the studio and trusting the equipment and knowing that if something breaks, I'm ultimately here to fix it. This is something that you thumbed your nose at when you were told the consequences of your trip and decided to do it anyway.
But this is the larger conversation that I want to have now, and now it's out in the open, and I want the public to see it, Stugatz, because here's the thing. With all the stuff going on at ESPN right now, where they're fluctuating the lineup and Zoom calls are changing everything, and they've come to realize, wait a minute, all this stuff can be done on a computer. We don't have to have Miami studios. We don't have to have all of these shows, highly questionable, can just be on a computer.
I think you're extending them far too much credit, because I haven't heard one show incorporate the Zooms the way that we have. They're still sending out Comrex.
Okay, regardless, what I'm saying is from within that, you know, Mike, you know that Stugatz has spotted a way to not make this drive into the studio. The thing the audience doesn't know, though, that Stugatz does know because he's a radio professional, is how much better the show is when he is in studio. So we are at a tense point right now where Stugatz is angling to do it this way the rest of his life, even if every damn day it ruins the show a little more because he's lazy and he always wants to be lazy.
I mean, thank you for the compliments, Casey Kasem. I mean, here is you know, what I am telling you is I'm not angling for anything. In fact, this morning I told my wife, you know what? I missed that drive down to the studio. I like having somewhere to go every single day. I prefer it now because of all the
chicken thong.
While the chickens are out, let's play this. Playing a full 18 hole in golf today.
We knew it. He was going to play golf.
Yeah, lie by
liar. He misses the drive.
Honestly.
He hasn't seen one NBA game.
We're supposed to believe you pulled Abby aside and said, you know what, Abby, as you're both sitting in your breakfast nook, I really miss that drive into work as you put both hands on your coffee and sip it.
I've earned it. You guys not believing me. I've earned that. All of you not believing me. But I am telling you, I said, as long as the traffic was the way it was when I was coming to the studio, I actually missed that little drive. It's like a 45-minute sprint down the South Beach and back now. And that's a drive I can handle. It's the 3-hour drive that I can handle. But I have a feeling it's going to be a long time until we get back to that. So I am looking forward to a week from Monday where I'm back in studio, yeah. Unless I take a little detour to Baltimore again. You know what I
mean? A week from the biggest day in our radio show's year as we relaunch all these exciting new properties and are part of a yet again reshaped ESPN Radio. I do kind of take solace in the fact that we've been here for a few years and we've survived a few of these ESPN rebuilds, and there's only one constant right now in those ESPN reshapings and reimaginings, and it's been us.
That was boldly declarative. You said it with your chest a little bit. I do look forward to this part, Stugatz, because I don't know, it's got to be inadvertently, right? They are putting us in the middle of a lineup right now with a reduced hour beginning Monday where it will not be possible for us to stand out more as just being dipshits. Like, we are surrounded by professionalism. They just took away your updates, which are purposefully bad so we could get the content out of them. Stugatz reads poorly. Roy tries to trick him with unbelievably hard words. They, and again, this goes back to what we were talking about yesterday. I'm not totally sure that they get what it is that we do because they think that you're that bad just being that bad at reading, that it's not that we're doing that to trip you up, that we're not that we're trying to do things that make content.
He is bad.
He is bad. But Stugatz, but here's the funny thing about you being terrible about that, Stugatz. You got that job because you announced pretty loudly, I could do this better than anyone at the history in the history of ESPN. I'm the best update guy in the history of radio. You did say that.
I did. It started out well. I'm good when I'm just rattling off scores and there's not a lot written down. And what happened was I got lazy and stopped writing my own updates. And then Roy took advantage of that, and rightfully so. Like, hey, if you're not going to write them yourselves, I'm going to write things that are going to make you trip over your words. But I learned to accept that because the audience liked it and it created content for the show. But if you just give me scores and put them in front of me, there's no one better. I mean, with all due respect to Christine Lisi, I'm the best ever.
No one's better at reading city names and numbers following.
Just give me Dodgers, Reds, you know, 7-3, Kershaw.
Okay, but hold on a second.
See, now you're getting yourself in trouble.
I want the audience to absorb this part, okay? Monday, August 17th, as our entire world changes here, ESPN radio lineup changes, and there's a push to sports, more sports. Let's make things sound more sports.
And in that push, we're getting pushed out.
We're getting pushed out. And one of the things that's going to create even less content than you're used to is that Stugatz loses the ability to read those poorly, and it's going to be replaced by professionalism. And I'm looking forward to talking to Christine Lisi, but I want you to absorb in this year the idea of needing on the half hour information about sports you can't get off your phone. Let's think about that for a second.
I debated trying to put in the PSG Atalanta score just to see if the guy says Atlanta.
It's Atalanta, and he absolutely would have called them, you know, a team from Georgia.
At least we're doing it every half hour, Dan. WFAN in New York is still doing it on the 20s. They give you 3 an hour.
You know, faces come and go. Radio, especially on this level, is a fairly transient business. And occasionally you'll have people that get the show that call the shots. And sometimes what you do, your particular brand, falls a little flat. And I was really neutered in pushing back anything in regards to this Sports Flash decision because they said it's not up to the ESPN standard. Even I know that. That was sort of the point. Yes, you're right, and I thought that's what we were going for, but okay, let's have the imaging.
So there. So let's think about that for a second, Stugat.
You know what? Can I rail for a minute? Because when I do something that is up to the ESPN standard, by everyone's account, they never ask me to do it again. I mean, so can I just get... I'm going to start lashing out at people around here.
What are you talking about? What have you done in your history?
I did a lacrosse Final Four in a national championship game that the head of programming around here said, was it not a good job? A great job. And so then I asked to do golf. Crickets. I mean, you don't like my work, you don't. I mean, I'm kind of upset here.
All right, hold on a second. Before you shoot resentment in every direction about how great you've been doing these things.
And he's right. Historically, calling lacrosse has been a major launch pad for several of the great voices in this industry.
Yes, Chris.
I mean, what do you have yourself doing in golf? Like replacing Nick Faldo? Like, what are you? What's going on here?
Well, I mean, listen. I think Joe Tess called lacrosse at one point. By the way, I will remind you. What I'm trying to do is just be a guy who's out in the gallery. I know the game. I've spoken to SVP and Greeny about it. They think it's a good idea. They anchor a lot of our golf coverage. I think I have something I can lend to golf. And so, you know, I'm just trying to. I'm trying to do as much as I can. For the network. But sometimes they say I'm too unprofessional. They take me off for that. And sometimes they say I'm too professional. And they don't like that. I can't win.
Many people are saying you're too professional. I've never heard that before. And no, I'm not. I don't mean to insult lacrosse. That wasn't what I was trying to say. It's just you very rarely see the jump from women's college lacrosse national championship Final Four to Monday Night Football, which is sort of what you're angling for. But you were right. You were good and mighty entertaining. You called one of the greatest lacrosse games ever, and you had a moment that lives in infamy.
So I've noticed the last couple of BC possessions where it seems like they've tried to force Sam. Sam tried to force something. I'd rather see someone other than Sam get the shot here. And, Brick, what I mean by that is they've been better offensively today when Sam's not forcing the action, been more of a decoy than the one generating the offense. Apuzzo, going. She's going.
Shut up, go! On the shoulders of the Tahura Town winner, Sam Apuzzo, will be heading to the national championship game for his third straight year.
LaBrosse wasn't going to get the ball in the biggest spot.
All right.
Yeah. That's mighty embarrassing, and there's no edit to that. That's exactly how that happened.
Hold on a second. That is mighty embarrassing, but I don't know if it is quite as embarrassing as what just happened to end this segment, which is Stugat's angling for more golf coverage when they've taken away his sports flashes because they're not up to the company standard. And now he wants to be next to Nick Faldo on the golf events and running all of Monday Night Football.
Yeah, he wants to do the Masters because he's been fired from sports flashes on ESPN Radio. That's failing your way up, which is you've made a career out of it, Stugatz.
I've never met a shot I don't like much.